Well, praise God. We're looking again at positioning yourself to receive healing. For 2 weeks, we didn't have teaching. We had been finished up where God gives, how God gives to the laying on of hands. We were looking at that. As we go tonight, we're going to, you know, go in through. We have gone through three steps. We're going to go to fourth step. Is looking at these steps as one of the things as ministering to people and even for yourself. One of the things that is so important is really the first step. Is dealing with God's will to heal. If a person doesn't have that or get that, to go further is really almost to no avail. And this is one of the great problems that's been in the church world because of the controversy of God healing. Does God heal? Or, you know, in much of the church world, I think you could probably get most anybody in the church world to say that God can heal. But what God can do and what He will do is a huge difference. In other words, you can't have faith in what God can do. You can't have any faith in it unless He would tell you specifically He would do it for you. So you have to know that God will do it or you couldn't have faith. That's an impossibility. So to believe that God can heal really don't get you anywhere. It doesn't go anyplace. A lot of people think that's a big, we believe God can do it. But most people that believe God can don't believe He will. And I know from over the years in dealing with people, and you know, say, well, I believe God can heal. Well, do you think He'll heal you? Well, sometimes He does, and sometimes He don't, and sometimes, you know, it's yes, no, maybe, and whatever. But most of the time, it's not dealing with that part of the subject. And with dealing with the other things, once we know it's God's will, is number one, we talked about God being the giver. And that's what He is. That's His nature. That's the nature of love. It's one thing that I've often learned from myself as a Christian is one of the things you can tell whether you're walking in love, whether you're tight-fisted or you're open-handed. Whichever, you can easily tell whether you're walking in love. And one thing about love's a giver. That's what it does. And that's the operation of love. And so when people are walking in love, and it's number one, the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And that's God's nature is to give. And we also looked at the last time we got together was looking at one of the main ways. We looked at some different things of God, how God healed. But one of the major ways we looked at was the laying on of hands. In fact, in Mark, the 16th chapter, Jesus, at the time of His ascension, spoke. This is one of the things concerning every believer. It's one of the things that believers can do, can lay hands on the sick in the name of Jesus. So we see that really, it's something that any believer can do. So the laying on of hands is one of the things that we do for ministering to the sick. And we're going to begin tonight to look into the area of God, dealing with God gives power to the sick. We want to look at some things in this area because of the failure to understand what God gives to the sick when hands are laid on them really has been the problem of why many people don't get healed. It's been a problem because of the expectations of people, what people are expecting, what people think. This is why it's one of the things that's so important to study the Word. There's so much tradition in Christianity about things, but they're not biblical. There's many people and they have beliefs about things and but it hasn't come from the Bible. It's traditions that people passed along and people's expectations about things. That one of the things the Bible tells us to study, Paul wrote to Timothy, he told him to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, if the word can be rightly divided, it can be wrongly divided. And it's one of those things is taking time to find out. When I first started off as a young Christian, I had come out of a Christian background where, you know, healing was not something that was promoted of anything. You know, they would, if somebody was sick, you might hear in the church and they would say, pray for so-and-so. And what they meant is, good luck. That's probably no more than what it was because nobody had any expectation. And if something did happen, everybody was aghast. Oh my God, this happened. I'll never forget this. I was a kid back in the 1950s during the healing revivals. And, you know, I don't know if any of you people here remember anything about those time periods. See, I remember some things about revivals. You know, when I was a little kid, I was at one of Oral Roberts' tent meetings where, you know, he had a tent seated 20,000 people. And you'd go there, and the miracles and stuff would take place were phenomenal. I mean, there would be, at that time, polio was a big thing. And so lots of people had braces and crutches and stuff, polio. People would get healed. At the end of the service, there would be really, literally piles of crutches and braces and things and stuff where people were healed. And, you know, those things would go on. Well, healing just wasn't in his ministries. One thing is I learned from Kenneth Hagin, because he was involved in during that time period. He said it seemed like healing was in the air, that almost anybody could have a healing ministry. Well, we even saw healings take place in the church that I was in as a kid, and they never taught healing. They didn't, you know. And it was one of the first times I ever saw them anoint somebody with oil. Because they didn't do that stuff. They, you know, I never understood. They always talked about believing the Bible, but you never really did what the Bible said. Because, you know, it was always something going. But I'll never forget, people in the church who had a daughter who had polio. And she was, she had got from a time that I could ever remember her and that stuff, you know, where she could walk some, but she got to the point she could hardly walk at all anymore, anything like that. But I remember them bringing her to church and stuff, and he had other kids and that stuff, and they would bring her. And so one time they asked in the service, and I was really surprised that they did it, because they said, you know, the Bible says to anoint with oil in the name of the Lord and the elders. And it's always interesting because they did that. They anointed her. And I thought this was really intriguing, because never saw anything. Nobody ever did this before in that church. Nobody ever did anything like that. And I don't know if they ever did it again. But only because these people asked for it. And so these people asked. And so they anointed her. It didn't seem like anything happened or anything like that. But the next time, church, the following week, she walks into church. And they were probably more shocked than she was. But you know what? They never touched it again. You know, it's like, you know, it was just a weird happening to them. I don't know how many of you remember Larry White. Okay, Larry White. Larry White had a testimony, because, you know, a person can have faith and others don't, especially like from the standpoint, I know this, that girl didn't get healed by the elders' faith and prayer of faith. I don't even know if they prayed it. It was probably the mercy of God just went into action, because the family acted toward the word. I think that's a lot of what happened. See, that's what God, when somebody even, you know, lots of times is really sort of ignorant about things of faith, but when they start to act toward faith, it's amazing what God will do for them just because they're taking a step toward it. And I think that's what happened. Well, I know it wasn't the elders' faith, because if they had any faith, they would have done other things, and they never did. Well, Larry White was having multiple sclerosis. He was on very large doses of steroids. And I mean huge doses of steroids. And he wanted to get off of steroids. He wanted to stop taking them. And so Larry, another church he had went to at that time. He wasn't going. This is when I first met Larry. He was going to a church and was pretty much an unbelieving church. I mean, they didn't believe much of anything. Larry was sort of a misfit in the group. He was in their church, and are they Episcopals or something that they were? That church where they used the building there? Yeah, Episcopal Church. Anyhow, they were believing. But anyhow, Larry asked for them to come and anoint him with oil. Now, going off of steroids like Larry's on, the doctor told him, you can't stop this. This takes a long time to wean you off, because he can kill you. You know, it's one thing, you never notice they give you steroids. They give you a large dose at first, and then a lesser amount. And that's the reason they do it, because you can end up with some major health problems. And Larry said he was going to go off, and they're going to anoint him, and he's going to go off of them. Well, his doctor said, you can't do that. It'll kill you. You'll die. You're not going to do that. But Larry said, well, you know, he got this. He said, no. He said, I'm going to have them pray for me, and I'm going to be delivered from these. I don't want to have to take them anymore. And so he had them come and pray for him. They anointed him and prayed for him. Now, Larry had faith. Now, I know they didn't have a bit of faith. They're just following a religious tradition thing, you know. And they anoint Larry, and Larry went off. His steroids never affected him whatsoever. Never had any effect at all on him. I mean, he went off of them. It was fine, and doctors didn't know what to do about that, and they didn't know what to think about that going on. But as the fact is, in, you know, we're talking about here in using faith, and so when we're dealing lots of times, there's so much tradition in the areas of dealing with faith that people have ideas of how things work or they don't work or what people, and it's really important that you study the Bible about things. It is amazing how much tradition people have about things. And I mean, I find it all the time that people accept things as biblical that are not biblical. I mean, lots of times ministers, big name ministers, I hear them preach things and that stuff, and I think, that's not even biblical. But people pass it on down through the year, and people just start saying it. And people say it, it goes on and on. And nobody stops to find out, is this really accurate or not? They just keep it up. They just keep talking things and saying things are so, and they're not. And so one of the things that I found out about, especially in the areas, divine healing is a very easy thing to hook up into. It's very easy. It has been complicated so much. It has been so carried out into like it's some kind of weird. It cannot be hard, because I learned how to walk in divine health in about 3 months of my Christian. From the time I got born again, I learned how to step over into it. It can't be hard. That's an impossibility for it to be hard. But one of the things is you have to find out what's true, and is number one, you're going to have to throw out a lot of your religious beliefs. You're going to, if you don't, then things become difficult. A lot of your ideas. And so understand that. You know, sit down and look and say, why is it? If I'm having difficulty in that area, why am I having difficulty? What is the reason for my difficulty in this area? I didn't pray or fast 48 years to try to get saved. I didn't have to wait day and night and day and night till one day God would save me. Or I didn't have to do none of that. The salvation, see, is number one. See, people have salvation here and healing's over here somewhere. It's as easy to get healed as it is to get saved. There is no difference between the two. It's absolutely zero indifference. But we've separated. We don't think, and most people, the average Christian, spirit-filled Christian, really in their heart, mostly believes that healing is not as important as salvation. And if you believe that, you will always have difficulty. I'll tell you, God wants to heal me as much as He wanted to save me. Jesus suffered what He did, all that He did so I could be healed with the same suffering to save me. So for me to take it and separate it as if it's something different really is a lie. It's an absolute lie to do that, to separate the two. Don't separate the two. You got to come to the point that I know, just like God wanted to save me, would we ever tell a person that God didn't want to save them? We would never think of it. But yet the average spirit-filled Christian will question healing. They have all kinds of questions. When they believe God, and then all of a sudden all the flags go up. Oh, well, maybe this, and maybe that, and maybe... They don't look at it from the standpoint. God wants to do this, just like He wanted to save me. He wants to heal me. You know, when I was a young Christian, is when the Lord told me, He said the number one thing He wanted for His people, other than to be, you know, saved and things, was to be healed. He wants them healed. He wants them well. But yet that seems to be a hard thing. That's a hard thing to get across from people. And so is one of the things is, you know, sometimes maybe I don't know why, from a religious standpoint, it becomes very hard for people to things they accepted in the past about religion is to throw it away. It seems very hard. Things get very deep-seated. and is to sit down and say, hey, you know, the way I was believing, I was always thankful of this. I completely threw away the religion I was grown up with. I decided that forever got saved. I decided if what they're telling me is true, I don't even want to know God. I decided that. I decided it was insane. It didn't make any sense. Because I was, one thing is, I just looked at their lives and thought, I don't want their life. They weren't happy and they weren't, oh man, this is a great way to live. My words, they even hated the sinners they wanted to see get saved. They couldn't stand it around. Oh my God, you see how bad those people are? I don't know. Ah, unclean, unclean, you know. You know, it was, it wasn't, there was no, there wasn't a joy in life. There wasn't, life was a drudge, you know, oh, this is, we're living in this world and it's falling apart and like, oh, you know, we're just suffering here for Jesus and, you know, and what they suffered for was for everything that the world suffered because they had no different life than the world. The same sicknesses, the same stuff, bad things, they went through all the lousy stuff just like the world did. They didn't get out of the hospital quicker than the sinners, and finally the sinners got out usually quicker than the saints did. And you just, it was always a mess. Everything. And I said, man, I didn't want none of this. It's like, they would tell me, God loves you. And then but he killed somebody in the church. You know, for some reason he wanted to kill them and take them off to hell. You know, and leave their family without a mother or a father or something like that, you know. And, but it was out of love. Yes, it was out of love. And it was all those things. And we need to be very careful. One of the things, much of religion is based on trying to answer questions that we don't know a thing about. So we come along and make up an excuse for God for some purpose. People do this all the time. They try to justify to other people why events happen that they know nothing about why it happened. So they come up with, well, God had a purpose. And what they should have said, you know, I'm so stupid. I don't know why I said anything so dumb in my life. But they make up an excuse. I don't have to make any excuses for God. God never did nothing evil. The thief came to steal, kill, and destroy. The devil goes, well, why did this person die? I don't know. I don't have to answer the question. I don't know everything about a person's life. I don't know what all they did or didn't do. I don't know all of what they believed. I've learned this over the years. Many people come along and tell you all kinds of things they believe, and when you go to find out, they don't. They say they believe this and they believe that. You get around their life and you find out, boy, they don't live that at all. That's not what they're doing. So you don't know with people. And many times we don't know why. What's opened the door sometimes the devil to do certain things? We don't know why. And you know what? We don't have to answer the question. God, that's just one of the things that the devil does is to getting us, sticking our noses into places where we shouldn't have them in, because all it does is lead us to unbelief. It leads us to a place of unbelief. We start questioning God. I've learned this a long time ago. When I start questioning the integrity of God, I've got a problem. Because I've left truth. I've left truth. And about with people, we don't have to answer. It's one of the worst things you can ever do to your own faith is question why. As I see people, you know, concerning sometimes even with family members and stuff like that. Why this? Why that? You know, hey, if God don't talk to you about it, don't go there. Don't go to that place. Because all is going to lead you to problems. I know people that have been messed up now for 30 to 40 years because they just keep certain things happen in life and they won't leave it alone. And it has led them to such unbelief, they can't get out of the ditch they're in. They can't get out of it. And see, you have to learn that. There's stuff that sitting playing the game of what is it? You know, I've learned this, water over the dam is water over the dam. You ain't getting it back on the other side again. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. What matters is what we can do. That's what matters. That's what matters. If I can go on. You know, one of the scriptures in the Bible says about, you know, the secret things belong to the Lord. There's some things between God and the person and ain't none of your business. It ain't none of your business. I have found this out. It's happened in many times to people. Many times people go through the things, and I've watched people already that I've ministered to the point where they died, and they had everybody believing they wanted healed. And you know what? I found out they didn't. They were wanting to leave. But they would tell people what they wanted to hear. They would tell them exactly what... And you know what? The average person will do that. They will tell you what they think you want to hear. Why? They want to sound spiritual. You know, I've told people sitting with them already, said, if you want to go, don't play a game with it. Have a good home going. You know? Don't play stupid in this thing. Don't tell people what it costs. They're praying. What do you care what they're praying? What do you want? What is it you want? You don't have to please any of these people around you. This isn't about, you know, you and them. But people are always trying to do that. They're always trying to keep the people happy around them. Because they're so weak. That's what it is. They're so weak. They can't stand it. They can't imagine somebody want to go to be with Jesus and be with them. It's hard. It's hard for them to want that. But that happens to people. I found this out a long time ago with people dealing with dying. Was sometimes people touch over on the other side, and when they do, they want to leave. They want to leave. And the worst thing you can do is you trying to keep them here when they're wanting to go. It's the worst thing you can do. Because, I've learned to cooperate with people. I've learned that. This is something that they're heading in a direction. If you want to talk to them, you want to make a change. But number one, you got to know that a person has the place or the ability to believe to make the change. Because if they don't, that's why you better be spiritual or stay out of the game. Don't be getting in it. Because if you don't know whether, you got to know whether the person, you got to pick that up, whether the person is in a position that they can head the direction you're trying to get them to head, if they can actually do it. Sometimes people can't. They're not in a position to do it. And so we need to know that. And as our interest in people, you know, I hadn't planned on any of this, but you know, there's things that, you know, we need to deal in the area sometimes of healing and deal with things with people. And we want to reach people and that stuff is one thing we can always tell as anybody. God does want to heal them. But people have choices, and always remember that. And just don't override people's choices because you don't like what's going on. Learn to walk in love. When it comes to these things, many people don't walk in love. They don't walk in love with the person. And what happens is they open the door to the devil to bring turmoil in. When people are dealing in the areas of death, and they'll bring turmoil in because they're pushing their way, they're trying to push what they want, and it's never good. It's never good like that. Never good like that. So you want to be careful in those areas and that stuff. We minister to people. We can't force healing on people. You can't force it. All we can do is with people is help them minister to. One of the things you're going to have to learn to do is even concerning yourself, realize that, you know, you have to know coming into something whether you can stand, whether healing, you have to know where you're at, in your faith. If you're going to believe God for healing, where are you at in your faith? It doesn't matter what you want. God doesn't give you what you want. God gives you what you can believe for, what you can act in faith according to Scripture. That's what we can get. And so you have to know your own faith. You have to know how far your faith can go. You need to know how as far as you can believe. You know, it's like the Lord told Kenneth Hagin concerning divine healing. Divine healing is without any kind of medical aid or anything like that. And, and if you're going to go through the things of medical aid, well, the Lord said, I want to help people. He said, I want you to pray for them for a quick recovery. So see, God wants to bless us in these areas. But we have to know where our faith is. See, I've watched people push for divine healing already that had no faith for divine healing, and they wouldn't take the time to sit and listen, to learn. And you know what? They ended up with nothing. They suffered terribly because they weren't using faith so God couldn't help. They're trying to get something they can't attain. Find out what you contain where your faith can get a hold of something from God, because God wants to bless people. That's His always His desire. In wherever I can get a hold of in faith, it's one thing, as I've learned, it's one of Paul's prayer in the Ephesians in the third chapter, talks about God doing exceedingly abundantly above what you ask or think. In other words, God can go beyond, and usually does, from where your even faith is. That's why you take a hold of faith where you can. But trying to take a hold of it, it's like trying to pick up a weight that is too heavy for you to pick up. And you end up with a back injury and wonder, what happened? I don't understand. You know, I do. You couldn't pick it up, and you tried to. You need to know what you can handle and what you can't. And because it never turns out well when you're trying to do something that you can't. Your faith will grow by you walking in where your faith is at and taking a hold of things. And when you see your faith takes a hold of something, the next time you can shoot for something else. You can shoot for something higher. But you're not going to start off at the top. People don't start at the top. We'd like to, but that's the American way. You start off the top. You go through college and become the CEO of the company on graduation day. That's the American way, you know. That's the way they think it is, you know. You just start right off the top. Well, you don't. And so with God, it's the same way, and it takes time and development, and you're going to have to push into that direction. It's one of the things when it comes to health. Now, I have done tons of study into this area, and this is an area I look into all the time, because we live in a world of sickness all the time. So keep yourself over in the area where concerning healing all the time. Don't wait. Don't wait till something happens and then decide, well, now let's get everybody praying and doing things. That may not bring anything. That may not help. That may not help. Just getting everybody praying. Because, see, if the person who wants everybody praying is acting in unbelief, they're trying to drag that person along. And see, this is why, if you keep yourself over, when you hear something, if something comes along, you end up with a problem, and the doctor tells you and gives you a report that you really didn't want to hear. I just had an incident with an individual like that, and I had to talk to them, because they got a report, and they didn't want to hear the report. They're talking about faith. I said, well, if you don't want to pay attention to the from the standpoint and look at what the doctor's really saying, I said, then you don't need faith for healing. You don't think there's nothing wrong. So I said, why are you talking about believing and wanting me to do something? What would be the purpose in that? See, faith is not, we're not saying by faith that something don't exist. What's the point of having faith? If nothing really existed, we have nothing to believe for. When people do that, see, people have all kind of weird ideas about faith. They have a lot, and we're going to want to talk about tonight, because we need to deal with this stuff. That's because of how people think. Because the area is the failure to understand about this is what when hands are laid on a person or we minister to the sick, what they're expecting. This is one of the main reasons it is. Is dealing with this is why people, when they're prayed for, lots of times, for them, it has done not much good at all, because they leave in unbelief. They leave because, of what their expectation was to what the scripture says. And this is why you always want to be in line with the word, because, we're dealing with the areas. Always remember this. Faith is always first. Faith is always first. God will always move you to an area of faith to demonstrate faith. He'll always do that. Always. You know, if you look at of Jesus's, we have these different times when Jesus ministered to people. Sometimes we see people say, well, why did Jesus do certain things differently? Why did he put spit in a guy's eyes and put clay on his eyes, a blind man, and send him to a place, to wash his eyes? Why did he do that? He did that because he did not come to Jesus with any kind of expectation concern. He didn't come and say, hey, anything of believing. He didn't say a thing. Other people brought him. So God did something. God wanted faith out of him because God wanted to heal him. But God wanted him to act in faith. So God got him to act in faith. God got him to do something. He had to go do what Jesus said. See, you always got to follow the word. So got him to do that. You know, isn't it interesting? You know, two blind men are chasing after Jesus and they follow him after. Yeah, they want healed. Finally, they go into a house with him and they go in and he says, "What do you want?" Like, that we receive our sight. He said, "Well, you think I can do that?" And they said, "Yeah." And he said, "According to your faith, let it be unto you." Why was he doing it? He wasn't being mean to them or trying to act stupid to them. He's trying to get them to release faith. That's one of the hardest things I found out as a minister is to do in a healing line is to get people to release faith. You can't get them to do it. You lay hands on them, but they're like a piece of dead wood. They walk away with their mouth closed. They don't, not acting at all like anything happened or anything. Not any actions, but getting people to try to act. That's a hard thing to do. I don't understand it. But that's what people do. I don't care how much you teach the Bible and read the Bible. We have our religious ideas of going through a prayer line. And I'll tell you what, and that's why nothing happens a lot of times, is because people just, well, this usually get a hand laid on you, just go walk off and walk back and sit down in your seat. I've never had one person, generally on their own, ever did anything like raise their hand and say, "Thank God I received my healing." I've never had anybody do that. Yes, the Bible says that's what you're supposed to do, but that's another story. You see, I'm talking about religious ideas and religious. Now, you see what you guys did down here in front of each other? But get church, your Presbyterians, in front of God and other Christians, you become a bunch of Presbyterians. You sit there stiff and we ain't going to move and do nothing or anything. It might be weird. I don't want to look weird in church. And God's going, "That's a weird church down there." Somebody might shout, make a noise. I mean, oh my God. Hey, this is good preaching, folks. See, I got talking about the fact of what the Bible and our beliefs. Now look, our beliefs don't line up with the Bible. They don't line up. Yet you can teach it and teach it and teach it, and people still will not act on it because we're reserved. I don't want anybody to think I'm weird. See, that's why with me, I already know they think I'm weird. So I don't care what I do. I don't care because I'm weird. I mean, that's why I'm weird. And I don't care what you think of it. But I'll tell you what, God shows up for me, so I don't really care. I don't really care what people think about it. It works. It works. I don't worry about other people think if I'm strange or they think I'm weird. I've thought about it, the guy Dave Batters who was at the church here a few times, and man, he shouted a couple of times and everybody in church turned around like, "My word, shock, somebody made noise. What was that?" Oh, now I've gone to meddling. Hallelujah, it's good. Hey, see, this is talking about faith and our act. You know, we got to act out like we like God. We got to act out like He is something that's fantastic, and He does what He says. See, I learned these years ago. This is what I found out, is your actions. That's the first thing the Lord told me, taught me, was my actions. When it comes to healing, this is really one of the things that I learned to be very successful at it in my own personal life, is because of learning to act in faith, not just turn around and say, "I believe something." Because I found out the people that do that very seldom see much happening. But the person that acts like it's true, total different story. Total different story. And so it's hugely important. But it's one of the things is acting like, in really, what happens is this. I want to talk about this because when we deal with the areas of this, we have to understand when we're going to, from the standpoint of ministering, what people's expecting and expectation of when hands are laid on them. When hands laid on them is the time that you act in faith. That's the time. That is the time that you act in faith. At that time. See, if you're going that way, that's the time. With me, like say, if my personal life, or you could do in your personal, when I'm at home and if I make a confession of faith, or I would just, or if I made a prayer of faith, If I do those, my next step is my action that I make. My first action is not looking for manifestation. The first thing God wants to see is an action of faith. That's number one on his list. And he's going to want to see some type. Now, just think of it. I was only born again a couple months. And so I got over and started understanding about this healing step, but I started asking the Lord. Kenneth Hagin keeps talking about, when he teaches on faith, about acting in faith. How am I supposed to act? What am I supposed to do when I believe I'm healed? What am I supposed to do? I want to know. That's the thing that I want to know. What do you do? And, you guys heard me tell this story, but I'm going to tell you what. It's what God told me, and I found out this works every time. Every time. I was laying there in the bed, and I woke up in the morning. I would leave for work. I'd get up about 5, and I left for work. I work at Reese Candy Company, and I woke up, and I felt terrible. I mean, my stomach was like in a knot. It was just, I just felt lousy. And I was laying there. I didn't say anything, but this thought went through my mind. Now, I was laying there in the bed. First of all, I was thinking about 1 Peter 2:24 is by his stripes I was healed. But this thought went through my mind. I never said it, but it just went through my mind. I thought, I'm going to call off work and then I'll just believe God. And when that thought went inside of me, a voice said, if you call off work, you're going to lay in bed sick all day. I thought, well, that ain't nice. I was like, what do you do with that? You're going to lay in bed sick all day. You know what? I knew God was talking. I knew it was God talking to me. I knew it. And then he said this to me, do you believe 1 Peter 2:24? And I was laying there in a bed and I quoted it to him. I quoted the scripture to him. And then he said this, well, if you believe it's true, why don't you act like it and get out of bed and go to work? Oh. Oh. But I feel bad. But I feel terrible. See, I said I believed that was true. But my actions. Remember, there's a guy named James and wrote about faith without works is dead. Faith without corresponding action. Faith without action in the direction. It's a dead thing. It's dead. So the first thing God wanted from me was an action of faith. So I got out of bed. And you know what I got? Nothing. I had no feeling of anything other than I was sick. I still felt the same way. Felt terrible. Went in the bathroom and got ready for work. Shaved and stuff. And couldn't even hardly straighten up to even look in the mirror to shave. And I just going through the motions and going through it. But I thought, praise God, I'm healed. Praise God, I'm healed. Now, if I would have got 100 Christians out around me, 99 would have said, his mind's gone. He believes he's healed. Now look at him. You can tell he's sick. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You got 99 spirit-filled Christians who said they believe God heals would have stunned that to him. I have been to ministers' groups already, and they're all like that. You need to use wisdom. And you need to use wisdom. Oh, I had him tell me that already. I said, I get healed and you never do, and I got to use wisdom. Somewhere something's messed up here. But you know, I felt terrible, but I went out and got in the car. I thought, you know, I'm going to just obey what God's telling me to do, and I'm just going to do it. And I thought, you know, I'm going to obey this. I'm going to obey this. I asked God a question. Now he's answering my question. I wanted to know, what about this acting on this stuff? What about this? And as I started driving to work, as I drove to work, I felt a little bit better. Till I got to work, till I got in the parking lot at work, every symptom was gone. I just felt great. And you know what? Every time after that, that's it. Something came along. I just acted on word. I believe I healed. I would take off and like I was healed. I would just act on it. And you know what? It works. It absolutely works. And see, we need to understand this. The average person, and like the question, you know, You know, what's the item, or what are people, say, when the item that are sought after when people enter a healing line? I mean, I want you to think about that. What are people looking for? What do the sick expect to receive when they're prayed for? What do they actually expect to happen? So I would tell you what most Christians do. They might say, well, I'm be my healing and blah, blah, blah. That's not what they're looking for. The average Christian and the majority are looking for a manifestation. That's what they're looking for. And there's no place in the Bible that tells you you're supposed to look for that. You're not looking for a manifestation. You're supposed to release your faith at that time. Faith, see, you know what's a manifestation? People say that they're in faith, they're trusting God to be healed, but when they get in a prayer line and they hands laid on them and they don't get a manifestation, they walk away, it didn't work. See, because they're only believing what they see or what they feel. That's what no faith was ever released. No faith, they're waiting for a manifestation. Now, I want you to understand this. The scripture tells us in Mark 16. In Mark 16, Jesus said, we lay hands on the sick and they recover. He didn't say we're going to lay hands on sick and they're all just going to get instantly healed. Thank God when you get instantly healed. I've had instantaneous healings, but the majority of times getting healed, they were healed in a process of time. It was time. Almost always is a process of time. And that time period, what's going to make the difference of how long your time period is or whether it even works for you is how strongly you act in faith in that time period. That's what's going to matter. See, God told me, He said, the reason you've had such great success, He said, it's because you do extreme things. I do extreme stuff. But, you know, it is number one. It is I, and this is one of the things that, that, you know, I've had people tell me in ministers and stuff, you got to use wisdom. But they don't realize I am acting in the wisdom of God. I don't do extreme things because I have a lack of faith. I have faith to do them. And see, you need to get to yourself, because there's one thing. If you want to come to the place that God can use you for miracles, you're going to have to be a person that is willing to do extreme things. See, we want miracles, but right now, we can't see much of miracles because we have very few people who will do extreme things. Everybody today, we have such a subdued church world. I mean, even back when I was a young Christian, I mean, at least you went on, you turned on TV and there was ministers on there. They weren't afraid to talk in tongues and do anything. They don't even do that anymore on television because it's too much. And they want God to use them in miracles. How's God going to use a man in a miracle when he won't even use the least gift? He's ashamed to use them in front of people because of what people will think or what people will say. We need to understand these things, folks. This is one of the things that holds back. I've learned I can't be ashamed. I can't. God gives me something. You got to do it. You got to say it. You just have to do it, because if you don't, nothing ever changes. Nothing will ever change. I want things to change. If what we keep doing, what we are doing right now, we will never see any change. We have to go beyond it. My big thing right now is I'm seeking God. What do I go beyond right where I'm at right now? What do I have to do beyond? Do you show me the step I go beyond? I'm going beyond this. See, people are happy where they're at. Next year, you'll either be here at that same level or maybe fall back. But you will not move ahead. You're going to have to do something beyond. You're going to have to do something different beyond to go beyond. I mean, that's just the way it is. In natural life's like that. But the church world is, you just keep beating the same old dead horse and it's all going to work out. You know, God loves the deal. He's in control. And, you know, I'm just trying to get him control of me. He has his hands full. Well, maybe he's done with me and work on you guys. I don't know. But you're going to have to. It's one of the things. That's why I just keep, God, what do I do now beyond here? I want to go beyond this. I want to go. I'm tired of the norm. Because the norm stinks. It stinks. And it's not leading to anything. All I hear is ministers talking about the move of God to come for the last 30 years that never comes. And they keep pushing it down the road. I'm sorry, it must be stepped into. It doesn't fall on us doing hardly anything. It doesn't work that way. There's levels of faith that we come to push into those areas that we can walk in them. Well, that means I have to do something. I'm going to have to do something, you know. I can't stay the way that I am. I mean, it's just that simple. So there's something to go beyond. And, you know, God's been to show me. See, the Holy Spirit shows you things to come. He's going to show you things that might make you uncomfortable about walking into. But there's one thing about it. If you'll commit yourself to follow the will of God, He'll give you the grace, the ability to walk into it. And you can do it. But as long as you stay away from it, hide it, you'll never go there. As long as you avoid it, you don't need grace not to go. And if you ain't going to start going, grace will never come because you have no need of it. You don't have grace come on you, you know, sitting and not doing anything. So grace comes on me, so I jump up and go do something. It's not working like that. Grace comes when I act in faith. Healing, the grace of God in healing, act when I learned to act it out. When I started acting like it was true, the grace of God in healing come to me and would heal me. That's how it works. So always, always the faith comes first. Acting on something you cannot see, touch, taste, smell. It's just what the Word says. The Word says it true. Bible says God's with you, and you start acting like God is with you. Instead of waiting, do you feel like God? Oh, this certain thing, if God will do this. God, if you do this, then I will do that. God, if you do this. You know what that kind of Christianity is? Something like Buddhism, something like, you know, Hinduism. They're along those lines too. And then the God of this world comes along and does something. God of this world. No, it's always acting in faith with God. I'm not bargaining with God. I don't bargain with God. Hallelujah. He has ability. Understand, just in the way that He wants to heal you, just in the same way He wants to anoint you in anything else in life He calls you to. He is the guy. God's been the initiator. And He's just been waiting us to act in faith so He can do and anoint us and get us to step out. Amen. See, to get out, to lose fear. You know, when I was really as young in the Lord coming in, when I first came into Christianity, Christians were much more, man, out there of doing that. Man, they were much more on fire for God and doing stuff. People were just, you know, out there doing stuff. And, you know, people weren't ashamed to, they loved Jesus and you knew it. It's today, it can be very hard to tell. People say, I like Jesus as long as it don't make me uncomfortable and around people. I don't want people at work to think that I'm weird. Man, when I got saved, man, people at work thought I was weird. See, I was Mr. Hell at work. I was Mr. Trouble, Mr. Problem. I got saved. And the Lord spoke to me. It was one of the things He talked to me that before I even got saved. He said to me, there's no such thing as a closet Christian. You won't find closet Christians in heaven. They go where the people in the closet go. And it ain't heaven. So He said there's not a closet. So here's one thing I knew. If I got saved, I'm going to have to act like I'm saved. Everybody's going to have to know I have a changed life. Amen. And boy, when I started this changed life thing, I became Mr. Popularity. Oh, those old friends and those people that loved me when I was like hell. Now all of a sudden, you're a decent person and they don't like you anymore. But they criticized me when I was Mr. Hell and now they criticize me because I was acting right. So it don't matter. See, I found out they didn't like me anyhow. And all these people we're trying to please don't really like us anyhow. They only like us if we try to do things to please them. Most people's friends have never been a friend. People play to each other. You know, Jesus is a friend to me. And you know what? He'll tell me the truth every time. Amen. And you know what? He's as good to me as anything's ever been good to me. But you know what? He never plays games with me. He never just tries to please Ed to keep Ed happy. Amen. Jesus will do right if Ed does never do right. And see, we know very little about friendship and friends because most people never have hardly any. Friendships are based on trying to please people, to keep them happy, to keep everything organized so nobody gets upset. Because I don't want people upset. We're in a world that ain't nothing but upset. And what we need is truth, because truth will bring order. But we don't want to do it God's way. We don't want to do it God's way. You know, just the Lord just dealt with me this week, you know, doing it God's way. You know, just from the Sting's point, I don't read articles, things I just, you go online to go on something and there's a stupid headline to something or other on it. And they're talking about this thing, you know, going into Georgia and the baseball thing, and I don't know what all is involved in it, but it's caused all this ruckus, and, you know, I guess they moved the game someplace, or I don't know, out of Georgia or something, and it's all this stuff, and there must be companies and all that stuff that got involved in this, and they're criticizing Georgia, and blah, 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 and all this stuff. And now we're having on the side of the people who think that they're right. Okay, they're going to do this to us, so we're going to do this to them. You can't do that as a Christian.
Amen.
You see, here's one of the things we need to know. I'm going to tell you why things don't work in this nation. Because Christians are so off base and don't even have a clue that they are. They live in a retaliation mode, just like the world. Return evil for evil. I was just thinking, I'd been doing some praying about this. I thought, Lord, this stuff going on. And I thought, Lord, what if these people, I mean, we saw Donald Trump's in the middle of this thing, telling people, boycott this and boycott that. And I'm thinking, if you are a Christian, you need to shape up, dude. Don't start telling people to start attacking and doing all this. We can't do that. We're Christians. We can't return evil for evil. And I thought, I wonder what would happen to this nation if all of a sudden the evil people are doing all their attacking, but we just quit and we didn't do it no more. Should I tell you what happened? God could finally answer prayers.
Amen.
For our nation. Right now, God can't answer a lot of prayers for our nation. He can't do it because people aren't walking in line with the Word, so faith is not being used. Faith can only be used when we are acting in line with the Word. And you know what? When it don't make sense, when we're being attacked but decide we're not going to attack, that requires faith. That requires patience. That requires a God, you're going to stand up for me in this thing. I'm not going to do what they do. I'm going to love them when they hate me. And you know what? There ain't many that want to do that. And this is why we can pray night and day. We can go all the motions of faith, but things won't work. See, we can go through all the motions and we want all kind of manifestations. But we will not see the manifestations till we see people acting on the Word.
Amen.
Acting like the Word's true. That's faith. That's faith. It isn't going around here, going here, they did this, so we're going to do that. You know? That's what led to the problems that we're sitting in. That's what led to COVID and all this stuff going on. That's why it's here. That's why all this stuff. The devil can rule and reign. He is allowed to. Because people are supporting him, even Christians, supporting the devil and his work.
Amen.
By playing to. What he wants you and I to do is starting to act like the evil people. He knows that if he can get us to do that, then God will have to sit back and just watch and let the devil take over. He knows that. He understands it. See, we can't do that stuff. We can't be playing this game. I'm going to tell you, we're going to find out if we're faith people or not. We're going to find out if we believe this Bible thing. Hallelujah. See, one of the things that we need to look at, people are looking for a manifestation. And see, whether we're dealing with the areas of healing or anything in the areas of faith, we need to understand this. What am I looking for first? Is number one, you know, we have in Mark 11:24, Jesus said that when we pray, we're supposed to believe we receive. That's what we're supposed to do. If we were supposed to believe we receive a manifestation, then you wouldn't need faith. If you got a manifestation, you would know you had it physically. You'd have no need for faith. See, the first thing we do is respond by faith. Remember, we started off this thing where at Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. This is the thing that pleases God. When you and I come and we have a place we step into, and the first thing we show God is our faith. That's the thing we show Him. That's what He wants to see. Because when He sees faith, that's what moves God. God is moved by faith. There has Smith Wigglesworth said this. He said, God will move over millions of people just to get to one person standing in faith. And He does it all the time. He moves over millions. I'll tell you, there's millions of prayers going up. But there's few prayers of faith. And people say, I just don't understand. Why is this? It is not a hard thing. If you understand how it works, this is not a hard thing. You do what the Bible says. My job is to do, when, like say, if a person would have hands laid on him, my job is this, is to believe I receive when I'm prayed for. That's what I'm supposed to do. I am supposed to believe. If I believe that I received something, then I should act like it's true. Amen. If I believe I got something, my actions must correspond to that. My actions. What I say and talk and do after that point is going to determine manifestation. And when a manifestation, or if a manifestation even comes, it'll determine what I do. And see, when I found out, see, that's what the Lord taught me as a young Christian on that bed. He wanted to get me to act like the Word was true. That's what, He wasn't being mean to me that day. He was absolutely honest. If I stayed in bed, my actions killed what faith I had, and I was going to stay sick all day. Mm-hmm. He wasn't being mean to Ed. Because if he would have healed Ed that day doing what he did, you know what Ed would have done the next time? The same thing. Because I watch people who act like that, and they're 20 years down the road, and you lay hands on them, and they do the same thing. Every time. Remember all the times that people go, I don't understand. God, I pray for it. How come I don't get healed? And I think, oh, you've never listened to teaching. You're sitting here, but you never listen to teaching. Never listen to it. We have our religious ideas, and they just override everything that's said. We have our ideas how this thing works. Somebody's going to do something for me. Somebody's going to make it happen for me. Somebody else is going to do it. And it don't work that way. It doesn't work that way. And so when we get a hold of that fact, it's like, my God, you know, that we do that. Dealing in the areas of manifestation. And that's what people have in their mind. They're looking for that manifestation of that healing. And the reason they're intent on that is because they really don't have a belief that something was going to happen. They don't have a belief. It's like, the only way I can believe if I feel better. That's the only thing I can get. That's the only thing. See, and it's like, that's a terrible way. It's number one, manifestation's not my problem. God made it easy for you and me. All we have to, He tells us what we're supposed to believe and act like is true. But we always take that part and try to take His part and try to do all this. We're trying to carry this whole thing that has nothing to do with us. Letting Him be God. Let Him be the deliverer and be the healer. We try to carry the whole thing and try to be the deliverer, the healer, and everything else. And trying to do it all. And we can't. And it's, if people understand the simplicity, I've learned over time what my part is. When I come to the place where I believe I receive, that's my part's done now. That's my part's over. Praise God, I did my part. I'm gonna be blessed. I've acted in faith. Glory to God. It has to work. It has to work. I've done my thing. It's got to work. If it don't, God's a liar. If I believed it and act on it, God's an absolute liar. And so, you know, I don't know, Lord, if I can say that or not. I'll go from there. There's certain things, sometimes you can say certain things, some things you need to just leave alone and stuff things. Some things, certain times you could tell. But anyhow, praise God. We want to get over in this thing as dealing with this, because as we go on and look here, is what people is seeing and what people are looking for. And we're dealing with this, and we're going to, as we look on with this subject, dealing with what people, when people are looking for manifestation. Jesus didn't promise anybody an instant manifestation. There's no promise in Scripture that. We have this as Scripture. It's a good one. And it says, through faith and patience, we inherit the promise. You can tell this about your faith. Now, I've learned this over time. Now, over the years, when I first started off, my faith patience was a whole lot shorter than it is now. But it was a lot shorter, you know. I was sort of like a McDonald's, like most people are, McDonald's type patients. You know, I can't even wait in three cars in front of me. We're screaming and yelling. We're mad because the line's not moving. You know, and that kind of thing. And that's where most people are in their faith in things with God. Now, whether people want to admit it, but you have to know where you're at in your faith. There's one thing, as I realize, my faith didn't have what the Bible calls endurance. Because, see, patience is about endurance. Endurance. See, I used to do a lot of long-distance running. I would do long-distance running. And I always have people used to come to me and say, hey, I want to run with you. And I'd tell people I don't want them running with me because I couldn't. Most people go run with you, they're complainers. Because they aren't long distance. They want to run a long distance, but you can't be a complainer and run long distance. You can't do that. See, it's one thing is you can't be Mr. Stupid out there running along and complaining about how tired you are and that stuff. You're not going to go nowhere. And number one, you ain't going to wear me out. I tell people, say, no, run with somebody else. I enjoy running. I like it, and I like doing it. I did it for me. People say, why don't you run in competition? I said, I'm not in competition. I'm doing something I enjoy. I don't have to compete with somebody else to feel good like. You know, I don't have to beat anybody else. And I go out and run. And, you know, people, we have this competition thing, and the ideas of stuff is we find our, you know, what we are. You know, I'm a child of God, and God likes me a lot. That's what I know. And it's getting, you know, I don't have anything against people want to compete, but we just have this thing in our society, and it's about finding a worth about yourself. If I could beat somebody else at something, I could do something. I don't want that. You know, I don't need that. To me, it's a lot of waste of time, a lot of hard work for nothing. And, but if we're gonna develop in this thing, though, is in these areas of faith, especially in this damn thing here, if we're going to walk, if we're going to go out here and get endurance, and we need endurance, so it takes time. Bible talks about faith and patience. And here's one thing is yourself, is why you got to get in the Word. You must come to the place where when you reach faith, you can know about this. If you say, well, I'm in faith, but you're not at rest, you haven't arrived at faith yet. Faith arrives at rest. When I know that I have it, I know it belongs to me. Now, I'm not talking natural. I'm talking what's on the inside. Your mind can tell you all kinds of stuff. But inside, you have to know on the inside of you that you have it and you're at rest. I got it. I'm not trying to get it anymore. It already belongs to me. I have it. And that's the place where you can begin to start acting like you have it. See, whether it's finances or whatever it is, people say, I'm believing God for money. But they keep acting like He hasn't given it to them yet. And they're always waiting to get that money to act like they got the money. See, I learned years ago how to bring money. And Wanda and I learned a thing. You know, we would want to go do something. Like, say, we'd want to go on a vacation somewhere. We didn't have two nickels to rub together to go on vacation. But you know what? We would first start. Here's what most people. We're believing God for the money to do such and such. And they go tell people, we're believing God for the money to do such and such. And you know what? They always act like they're still believing God for the money and trying to get that money so they can make plans to go ahead to do that. I found this. You start making plans. If you believe you receive something, you start acting like it's true. You don't act like you don't have money. Now, that don't mean you go out and spend money you don't have. But you know what I could do? Wanda and I would go. We would start telling people, we're going to go on vacation. We're going to go to such and such a place. We would set a date. We would make reservations. We did this many times, not have a nickel to do it. We'd make reservations to do it. We would do the whole thing. Go through it. Tell people, everybody, we're going. We didn't run around, I'm believing God. I'm believing God. Maybe you can con somebody into giving you some money. You know, but And I would do it. I would turn around and say, this is what we're going to do. And Juan and I learned. We just did it. Never one time that the money didn't come. Never one time the money came. Always comes. We just act like it was true. The fact that the money showed up, that's the norm. But see, all the time we're acting like the money's coming in. We're acting. See, people never act. They won't make a move till the money shows up and say, we're believing God. And they never believed God 2 seconds. There was never any actions of faith. They never act like it was true. See, we learned to do that. Just say, well, I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that. And the money comes. And we've learned over the years. I mean, that's the way you operate. We feel we want to do something or do something. You say, you know, you're going to do it. If I'm going to do something or anything, from buying cars to whatever it is, I make sure to when I'm ready to make the move, then I know inside what I'm going to do. And I just, okay, that's the way we're here. We're going to head that way. That's what we're going to do. And you start heading in that direction. And see, people don't do that. People don't plan on anything. Do you ever notice from the standpoint of healing, do you ever notice like the woman with the issue of blood, did she get healed exactly the same way she believed? Did the centurion, did he end up with his servant getting healed exactly like he said? God followed his faith, and just like with us, God many times has no faith to follow in people to bring it to pass. There's no faith to follow because nobody has set a time, a date, or things. I learned that John G. Lake. John G. Lake's wife got healed. He went and he told people he was going to lay hands on his wife. He said, I'm going to lay hands on my wife tonight. He said, I think it was 9:30 p.m. or 9:38. It was either morning or night. And he told people, you start to pray because at 9:30 I'm laying hands on my wife and she's going to be healed. And she was dying. And he laid hands on her at 9:30. She got healed. What do you do? See, he set a place of faith. You know, we don't know about those kind of things of setting something with our faith. We don't do that because we're afraid it might not work. What if I do it and it don't work? Well, don't worry, it won't. That's not good. We're afraid. We're afraid to set things. I always said it to people. People say, I'm going to go to this such and such a meeting. This healing minister is there and he's going to lay hands on me. I'm going to go down there and have him lay hands on me. Why don't you say, when I get down there, he's going to lay hands on me and I'm going to get healed? You know what? Most people who say they believe in faith would never make a statement like that. What if it don't work? Believe me, I've had people tell me that. What if it don't work? I say, don't worry, it won't. Have no fear. You're going to go home as sick, maybe sicker than you left. Have a big time. Why would you go to get hands laid on you and you weren't, nothing's going to happen to begin? I mean, think about it. Think about it. See, that's why we're talking about these things. If we can't minister to people if we don't have confidence, if we can't get it, you can't give anybody something you ain't got. You can't do it. You can't give it to them. You got to have it. And if I think anything the church world today needs prayed for is a spirit of boldness. Because if anything, that is lacking. That's it. There's a lack of boldness of faith. There's no boldness in faith. And we must come to that boldness of faith. That God's good. He's going to do good. You just hide and watch. If he don't do good to anybody, he'll do it to me. He'll go do good to it. And see, you gotta learn, and this is one of the things as we're dealing in the areas of faith, people need to know, is this acting like what you believe is true? It's the whole thing that makes things run and make things go. It's walking in what you can't see. If what you see is the big thing in your life that moves you, you're gonna always be moved by what you see. And that's gonna be your life. Your life is gonna be run by what you see. It's going to be. Well, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot more than I want to see. When I see all the lousy stuff around me, I don't want that to continue. I don't want that to continue. And see, right now, we're in a mess in America because people are nothing but talking and saying about what they see going on. This is, they're running their mouths and they're going a mile a minute about all this stuff that's happening and everything's going on. And you know what? They're having what they say because they're sitting around talking about what they see. I'm not moved by it. I tell you what, I don't care about what I see. Somebody's got to stop and bring a move of God. I will tell you this. God sure wants to move. God is holding nothing back. People are holding things back. God's not holding anything back. So people say, well, God's not doing this for a reason. Well, yeah, because He can't. Faithless people doing faithless things are bringing things to a halt. Talking about what they see, fighting amongst each other. See, we've got to bring this fussing and fighting to an end. Somebody's got to stop and say, hey, God, I'm going to walk by faith in Your Word. You said I keep my mouth shut. You'll uphold me. Okay. Now it's Your turn. You do the upholding. We done tried it enough, and has it worked? Man, this has been a mess, us trying to uphold this stuff. We got to stop it. Say, okay, God, You're going to move. The Word is true. You'll uphold us. You'll deliver us. You'll make this things work that man cannot make work. You will.
Amen.
We're going to trust You. And I just encourage us to take that stand. Don't get in the stuff of what's going on out here about that. You know, these idiots that think that our next election is the big deal. I'm going to tell you what. If the church gets focused on the next election, we're going to go probably immediately into judgment. The next election does not determine what God's going to do. This political junk is not in the forefront of anything. Because right now, it's just like, I don't want Trump president. He just wants a fight too. So we already got people want to fight. We don't need another person who wants a fight. I'm tired of it. It hasn't worked. It hasn't worked. It's not going to work. Man, I want God in the middle of America.
Amen.
I want God in the middle of... I mean, Jesus preached what He preached about walking in love. He preached that stuff to people that were under the Roman Empire. And you know what? They didn't listen, and look how it turned out. And it'll turn out for us identical if the church keeps doing what it's doing. We're not fighting. Hallelujah. People want to get their guns. And I'll tell you what, shoot yourself first, put yourself out of your misery, because I'll tell you, the last thing you want to be in is a civil war. I've been in a war. And any knucklehead today thinks it's a good idea to start an insurrection. Needs his head examined. Wait till somebody shoots at you. We'll find out how you are. Wait till somebody comes visit your family with guns. People are just downright stupid. Because you know what? We don't have even the respect of the people did during the Civil War in America. Today they'll kill everybody and everything. You better know how to pray and seek God. I don't want the dudes with the guns that think they got something going. I don't want them. My words. Our military got a lot bigger guns than you got in your house. You ain't over own guns like they do. That's right. They can take a drone and hit your house and they ain't even near your house. And your house is gone. And you can sit there with your little gun and shoot it up in the air all you want. So as I'd say, use it on yourself. You'd just be a whole lot better, smarter doing it. Because people don't realize what they're into. Playing games. I ain't never seen war. You watch war on TV and you can watch all that stuff and think, oh, that stuff seems bad. You ain't never been in one. You think it's bad watching it. Get in it. See, we have a nation of people that hasn't faced anything. Somebody else is paid to do it for you. We no longer draft people, make them go in. So somebody else goes, does it, and we just sit at home and ignore all that's going on. We're a weak society, a hugely weak society. I'll tell you what, I don't want America in a war. We'll lose. America will lose. Because we don't have the gumption to fight one. Because if a war starts, another one, millions will die. Americans will fall apart. They can't take it. Americans couldn't take a Second World War. They'd never do it. can never handle it. We can't take the littlest things that go on, much less that stuff. You better know how to pray. Keep us out of one. We better know what's important to do, and it ain't all the stuff we've been doing. There's things need to be sought, we need to seek God about, we need to be praying about, and people ain't doing it. They're messing around with petty stuff worrying about. I'll tell you, we need to what's on the horizon. The devil wants to destroy this nation. And he's doing a good job, and the church has been one of his biggest cheerleaders by being petty, just like the world is. Is not understanding what in the heck's going on out here. Things ain't pretty. Things ain't pretty. And so this stuff sounds hard and all that stuff, but I'm going to tell you, it's just hard things. We're living in bad times. And you know what? It ain't going to get prettier in a lot of this stuff. But there's one thing we want to do. There's things we can uphold, we can keep off of this nation for a time before we go. And we need to do it. Because if there are things that the devil can bring on this nation, we're going to be in huge, huge trouble. Huge trouble. This money giveaways will be nothing. We'll find out that all this stuff, you know, that they thought was big deals and the Democrats and Republicans fighting each other on, they're going to find it's been a nothing. Every time America has ended up in a war, we've ended up in a war because we were unprepared for it. The First World War, the Second World War, the Korean War, the Vietnam War. We don't even win them anymore. We just go play around and get tired of them and go home. Wait for the next one to go off to. Don't even win anything anymore. We don't know what it is to win anything. We ain't won nothing in so long. My words, we get over in these little countries over here, then they got 17 people in their army and we can't win. Wouldn't we think something's wrong somewhere? No. I don't have to go, so it don't matter. We just send somebody else. It's a lot of mess going on. But I'll tell you, the church can change things if they want to. God sure wants to. And I'm serious. God wants to. I've talked to him, and he wants to. He wants to turn things around. But he's waiting for people who seriously want things to turn around, who are serious, not casually saying, yeah, Lord, help us. Lord God, do that. That ain't going to get us nowhere. People who desperately want to see a change. The only war I want to see is the righteous against the devil. That's the only one I want to see. That's the only battle I'm interested in. God's kingdom and the devil's kingdom, and I know who wins that one. So, and there are winners. Hallelujah. In the kingdom of God, there ain't no losers. And that's the one we want. We want a move of God. If major destruction starts happening in America, you won't see a revival. You never will see revivals in war. When wars go on, revivals don't go on. Everybody gets focused on the wars. Everybody starts praying about the war, and they get so consumed in the war and praying about the war, the church. You don't have revivals. You'll never find them in history where there was revivals during the wars. That's why the devil likes to start it. Hallelujah. So let's keep war off, okay? Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you tonight. Lord God, we talked about a lot of things that seem heavy, but Lord God, they're not heavy to you. Lord God, you can change things. You're phenomenal. Lord God, when you look at the things that we think are weighty to you, they're nothing. You're God. Hallelujah. Lord God, we belong to the best kingdom that there ever could be. There's no kingdom that's a match for the kingdom of God. There's no kingdom that's like your kingdom, Lord God. And I want to thank you. Lord God, I just think about your scriptures, you know, in Isaiah where you said you were looking for a man to stand in the gap. You were just looking for one guy could stop the whole thing with a nation, could turn it around for a nation. Just if one person would stand up. And Lord God, Lord, I just pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that in the church world there's a people that'll stand up. I pray for a stand-up people. Hallelujah. Lord God, that people that look and see what's going on. And Father God, Father, you've always had a remnant of people that have been after you. And Father God, when I look at the direction we've gone and the things in our nation where the church has gone, oh my, my, my. Your mercy is phenomenal. You're incredible. Your goodness to us is just, Lord, you're mind-blowing in how good you are. And Lord, I forgive you. I ask you to forgive us for all the detrimental things that Christians have said against you about what you do and how you, and you're killing people and you're doing stuff. Lord God, we have so abused you and abused your mercy and your grace. But Lord God, you still reach out with mercy. You still reach out with a hand of grace. You don't quit even when people are doing absolutely crazy and stupid. And still, you want to move. And I just want to thank you, Lord God. I thank you for what you're going to do. I thank you for this move of God that has already started. It's not going to come. It's here. And it's here for everybody who wants to step into it and flow into it. Lord God, it's a thing to be stepped into. I can see it. It's not a thing to wait to come. It's a thing to step into. Hallelujah. And you have already put out the invitation to anybody who will come. Hallelujah. Lord God, you've already put out the invitation. Hallelujah. That you can come and you can buy wine without money. You can come, Lord God. Hallelujah. What the kingdom has to offer, Lord God, all we have to do is use our faith and step into your willing and gracious, Lord God, to pour out your blessing. And I want to thank you, Father. Father, you're going to reveal yourself and show yourself. Hallelujah. You have wonderful plans for your people. Wonderful plans. Glorious plans. Hallelujah. Father God, again, the glory of God will fall. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, I just thank you. I thank you, Lord God. Lord God, I look in great expectations. Lord, the things that you have spoken and said, they will come to pass. They will happen. Hallelujah. Lord God, and we thank you for it. Lord God, we want more. I don't want less. I'm not satisfied. Lord God, I thank you for all that you've done in the past and all that you've accomplished. But Lord God, I have no satisfaction in the past. Lord God, I look and I see your move. But Lord God, it's only led me to one thing. I want more. I desire more. I desire greater. That's the only thing. Lord God, it doesn't move me to have that again. Lord God, so many are looking. They want to have what was. Lord, I don't want what was. I want what I see ahead. The Holy Ghost is showing ahead. And the glory that's ahead is so much greater than the glory of the past. Lord God, I reach out in the name of Jesus and say, that's what I want. I want that glory. Hallelujah. That you have promised in your word, that you have said that you will do. And Lord God, you will fulfill it in us. And I thank you, Father God. Lord God, we have hope for a future. Hallelujah. Not hope for a past. We have hope for a future and a glorious future because Lord God, when we leave this earth, it's a glorious people. Hallelujah. Lord, it's a church of Jesus Christ. It's a victorious people. Hallelujah. Lord God, who have won their place and their position in this earth, Lord God, through faith in Christ Jesus, that no weapon formed against them will prosper, and no voice that rises up in judgment against them, they will condemn in the name of Jesus, Lord God, because they are God's glorious church. And so we thank you for, Father, thank you for all that you're going to accomplish and do in us and through us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God.